CFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt or sweet, sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. Thank you for your support.
Tuning in to Songwriters from Here and Away, the show that features songwriters from Atlantic Canada, across Canada, and around the world. This week, we are live at Crookshanks Funeral Home. The last Wednesday of every month, they have an open mic there that's led by Noah Tai, a local artist, songwriter, guitar player. The variety is immense, and the talent is varied and always lovely to catch. It's a warm, welcoming environment, and folks have a lot of fun. So if you're ever in Halifax, it's well worth the trip. We'll start with Noah Tai doing one of his songs. I'll let him introduce it and let things roll from there. Here we go.
I put new strings on today, which is always a terrible idea, because I only change mine, well, I tell people to change them far more often at work than what I actually do myself. But I picked up this guitar and got cut by a barnacle, so I knew it was probably time.
Seven men, one soul, shovels dig in, and 200 years to find the end. How boats away on that sunny May day, Oak Island bound, my friends. Hoist the sails, leave your women for tall tales. Soon to be bound for New Scotland. Soon to be bound for New Scotland.
Thank you.
First time I had COVID, I watched like 14 hours of The Curse of Oak Island and nothing happened at all. So I was like, well, I should write a song and maybe something will come of this show.
I have to tell you, I kind of agree with Noah on that one. The next artist is a fellow from Sackville, Nova Scotia. His name is Michael Butts, and he's got a couple albums out. I've seen him around town. Here he is, Michael.
Song I wrote about my son, and he's been a sailing man since he was in about seventh grade, and lives on his boat now. And so one day he came into our little bay off of St. Margaret's Bay with a friend. They were sailing down the eastern shore, and they stopped by for some home-cooked meals and free beer, and as they were heading off to sail on down the coast, I asked him, what's a traditional farewell for a mariner? And he said, "Fair winds and following seas." And so by the time he had the sails up and was heading out the bay, I had this song half written. Fair winds and following seas, on your journey, my son, rest assured your mother and me are proud of the man you've become. Rest your tiller hand steady through the rough seas and the gales, 'cause you know you can change the wind, but you can set your sails. Set your sails as you leave the safe harbor for the wide open seas. What's your anchor to foredeck? Catch a westerly breeze and a course for adventure as your future unveils, 'cause you know you can change the wind, but you can set your sails. Set your sails. When the storm clouds are arising, and the weather ahead is unknown, always remember that there is a lighthouse at the head of the cove with a beacon burning brightly, guiding you. Trust your compass and sextant, they'll guide you with stars from above. Trust your heart and your instincts when sailing the currents of love. With a reef in your mainsail and your storm jib unfurled, you can tame the wild oceans, and you can see the world, see the world. Set your sails and see the world. Fair winds and following seas on your journey, my son. Thank you very much.
That was Bruce Murray, and now we have Alex Connolly coming at you.
This is a song I wrote. I had the opportunity to go out to Alberta to work on a movie ranch, and I knew I was going out for about a year, so I had lots of time to prepare and think about sort of things and take some horse lessons, of course. And when I got out there, I found myself, you know, doing a lot of labor work, you know, so it wasn't really what I thought I would be doing, like most things, you know. You're expecting something to do something you have imagined in your mind, but when you get out there, the reality kicks in, and you're kind of back to the same sort of place you were. And another thing, aspect about it, this song, is that I posted a picture of me on a horse on Instagram. And so, you know, it gave everybody the impression that I was riding horses. I was in the movies, but it wasn't like that. I was doing labor work and, you know, grinding mostly. So this song is called Please Make It My Time. Okay.
working every day in this hot Alberta sun. I thought that the cowboy life was for me. Being on the range with just me and my horse, but it seems that ain't true. I'm here picking rocks while this buffalo stares me down, trying to find meaning in his white hair gown. But I can't find the answers through all these signs. Well, I'm getting tired. Would you please make it my time? Oh, I'm getting tired. Would you please make it my time? They say to accept your reality, then your time will come. Is it true? I hope it is for you. But hope is like Dumbo's feather. I'm here picking rocks while this buffalo stares me down, trying to find meaning in his white hair gowned. But I can't find the answers through all these signs. Well, I'm getting tired. Would you please make it my time? Oh, I'm getting tired. Would you please make it my time? That's it. Thank you.
You're listening to Songwriters from Here and Away. This is a live recording from Cruikshank's Funeral Home in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and it's an open mic the last Wednesday of every month. So if you're in Halifax, go check it out. It's always a unique time and lots of fun. We're going to take a short pause.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a selection from Harmony Music Lounge's Origin Story Volume 2, a full-length album written, performed, and produced entirely by youth from Napanee and Kingston. From it, we'll listen to Gasoline by Brielle Banderson and Atlas Rossborough, a slow-burning alt-rock single that explores emotional overload, performed with grit and grace by two standout members of the youth band Sound Chamber, who were both in grade 9 at the time of recording. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Origin Story Volume 2 on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Gasoline here with us on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Sleep, the fumes keep poisoning my dreams, and I wake up in- fumes keep poisoning my dreams, and I wake up in a cold sweat thinking about you.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a selection from Sean Bokenkamp, a.k.a. Caesar Schiff's new album, Who in the What? Caesar Schiff reaches into the sonic sack and pulls out new combinations of the influences they're under to produce an 11-track debut album boasting an authentic indie garage DIY feel through self-recording on a Tascam Porta studio. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Who in the What on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Potential, here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by your friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present 47 Teeth's new track, Portland Flower. The song and music video are about struggling with the unknown, like wanting to take a leap of faith but not knowing if you're making the right decision, or hoping that you're letting go of the right things and won't get burned in the process. Ultimately, the song is an emotional call for guidance from the universe. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Portland Flower by 47 Teeth on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
We'll be right back. Cher. I think you're pretty funny.
I think you're pretty funny too, Tara.
Well, that's good because, you know, 30 Years of Nonsense is a great show and we do it every Thursday from 4 to 5.
We absolutely do. And people can listen in at CFRC 101.9 or CFRC.ca.
Yeah, and we play basically all of our music from the 70s, the 80s, 90s, and current in all different genres.
And we share all of our nonsense and memories. I really hope people listen in.
Me too. See you there.
Hi, I'm Alan Cross. You may know me as the guy who does the ongoing history of new music. You're listening to CFRC 101.9.
Welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Cindy. This is Absolutely Frivolous. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited to be back at the station after all the holiday merrymaking and so much fun and too much food. And whew, I'm glad to be back in Kingston. That's all I'm going to say. welcome. If you haven't tuned in before, you may not realize this is a comedy show. I'm not funny, but I put funny stuff on the air. I only have one performer. Her name today is Beth Stelling. She's going to talk about her crazy landlady for 25 minutes, but it is very funny. I have to relate. Having lived in Toronto, I had a very similar landlady for a few years. And yeah, I totally get what she's talking about. Just to preface, as I always do, if there are any topics in the next piece that offend you in any way, or if I have unfortunately missed a swear word in all of her stand-up comedy in this next piece, please accept our apologies here at CFRC. We are not here to offend anyone. But comedy does... I don't know. It does make a difference, and it does push the envelope. And so if there's topics, you know, maybe, you know, turn it off and go somewhere else. But I personally try to edit everything I do and definitely bleep any swear words. But I am human. And like I've said in the past, I will laugh over swear words because I won't even notice them. I'm laughing so hard. So if that is the case and you're offended, I do apologize. And CFRC apologizes. Hope you had a nice holiday. We are in the last leg, last couple of days of our fundraising effort. Yes. If you go to CFRC.ca and click on the donate button, you will learn all about how we have been trying to ask for donations from you. And we appreciate everyone who has contributed. Honestly, we're doing really well. But just to get to our goal, we would love it if you would make a donation. There's so many options. You can make as little as $10. You can make a $1,000 donation. Yes, thank you, if you're going to do that. Or even more. Please check out the website. You can do it one of two ways. You can give a whole bunch of money through Queen's University and you will get a charitable tax receipt, which some of you might need now that tax season is around the corner. Or you can give directly to CFRC by clicking on one of the donation levels that are listed on our donate page on CFRC.ca. You'll find details on the amazing swag bags and gifts you'll get with each different donation tier from CFRC and from Kingston local businesses. And some of those businesses are The Toucan, Wit Kingston, Atomica, Diane's, Harper's, Black Dog, Kingston Thousand Islands Cruises, Smoke and Barrel, Poke Works, Paul Randolph Jewelry, Mighty Bird, The Fun Zone, Domino's Pizza. It's great. The Grad Club's Screening Room. I just got some tickets to the Screening Room as a gift, and I'm so happy I did. And, of course, Old Farm Fine Foods. Amazing food there. If you haven't been, go in. There's some great stuff there. Groceries as well as pre-made foods and hot foods waiting for you. Please go check that out. I do love that location. It's just down here by Queens, but it's so easy. There's parking and everything to get to be able to get into the place, no problem. And yeah, it's a really great little store. And I don't know, takeout restaurant, I guess is the best way to describe it. Yummy, yummy food. Okay. But you're here to listen to comedy. So let's do that. And like I said, please donate. We really, really, really appreciate it. You can put that you love this show and it's your favorite show of all time. I would really appreciate that. So here is Beth Stelling and her comedy about her landlady on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I get embarrassed often, but I did go fake skydiving at the mall a couple months ago. You know those places, they're called iFly. It's like a clear silo in the middle of a mall that sort of answers the question, like, what do alcoholics do during the day? Just adults in a tube getting fully blasted over an airstrip. With a Margaritaville behind them. Just shot up like an old bank deposit, you know. Honestly, I would have rather that. Just sucked up in a tube and land in a pile of money and some dum-dums like, ow! Let's do it again. I don't know what the most embarrassing part is. I think it's that I paid extra to get blown higher. That's it. When I paid the extra, they said I would get 2 extra minutes. And I thought, 2 minutes? That's robbery for this price? And then the second I was in there, I wanted out. You know, the only benefit to paying extra is you get a video of your time in the tube. You know when you can watch a video just over and over again to your point where you're just like crying tears of laughter? You guys, picture me, flight suit, bald cap, goggles. I climb into this silo, stream's already blasting like 200 miles an hour. That seems high. I think 200, 200 might take the skin off the bone. It's probably closer to 120. And it wasn't fresh air, okay? It was the type of air that, like, gets displaced when you shove your foot in a sneaker, like, pfft, you know. So I climb in. The stream's already blasting. I've assumed the position, you know, that I've been taught in my rigorous 10-minute training course. My face skin is getting taken to places it's never been. And the minute the video starts, you see me, I start reaching for the exit. And then the guy in there with me just guides my body back over the stream. And once I'm back, I start reaching for the exit again. And then the guy guides my body back. I'm growing weaker by the second. And I'm beginning to drool because I'm trying to speak, but it's like... I badly want to point, like, out, you know. But I've been taught that if I extend, I will flip, you know. And then I'm never making it out of there alive. When I finally made it out, this guy was hard pitching me on a membership. I'm thinking, I need a restraining order. I never want to see you again. I can't imagine what would get me back to the mall 20 times a month. Besides maybe a job at Auntie Anne's. Something I would genuinely enjoy. I don't know. I feel like if I got that iFly membership, it would irrevocably change my life. I truly think I would lose friends and family. They'd check in like, hey, are we gonna see you at the baby shower on Sunday? And I'd be like, unfortunately, I can't make it. I have a financial commitment to get blown at the mall. No, I'm not training for anything. You guys, it was $180 and I rent. I'm a renter. I can't be doing that. Are you guys not shocked? Do you guys not? Are you renters? What's happening? Okay. There was no movement here. Is this the Denver Elite? They're like, we purchased front row seats. See me after the show. I'm looking for a small guest house to just curl up in after the show. Do you guys like your landlords or what?
No.
Boo. No? Fuck that guy? Is it your dad or? No, I feel you. I did actually like my landlords at first. I live in LA, and they're an old married couple, my landlords. They give off like a Seinfeld's parents vibes, to give you an idea. And initially, I thought the dad was like very mean. I thought, this guy's like constantly cutting off his wife, never letting her get a word in. And now that I've been there for years, I'm like, that woman's lucky to be alive. I know it sounds bad. It sounds like a woman-on-woman crime to call her voice shrill, but it's absolutely piercing. Her voice is like a combination of a cat and a goose. Like, every conversation is like falling in a prickle bush. I can't get out unscathed. When I'm speaking with her, it's as if I've been entered in a competition that I didn't register for. And for some reason, I want to win. I'm just saying, if I were the husband, I'd be experimenting with sedatives in her cereal. You know, just to slow her down a beat. While I slipped away to the library to use their computer to Google, how do I disappear? She's such a snoop. She's like constantly popping up on the property. She does have an excuse. Their adult daughter lives above me, and she's constantly rollerblading. And sounds like relay races from room to room, just shoving furniture around. Sometimes I think she's just like ripping 3-pound weights and dropping them, you know? I don't know what it is, but it feels like I'm hearing interpretive dance up there. You know, there's sort of a grapevining situation into stuff like that, you know? I mean, I can hear absolutely everything. I hear when she arrives home because I hear the car. It's like beep, beep. And then I'm on the first floor, so I feel like when she walks by my window, she's like... the way her walk pattern is like she's always carrying a microwave, like, you know what I mean? And she does a lot of speakerphone. There's a lot of speakerphone in her life. I feel like she is listening to music in her car, and then the car stops, and it goes to her phone, and she's like, oh, I guess it keeps going, you know? I want you guys to guess the last song I heard on her phone in the vestibule, but I don't think you'll get it, so I'm just going to tell you. It was When the Moon Hits Your Eye Like a Big Pizza Pie. Look, who's listening to this? That's not starring in a commercial. Look, sometimes I'm only home for like 2 days a week. I was just like a little piece, you know? I was sitting at my desk one day, and I had my front door was open just for a little fresh air. And the landlady already walked by once. She like given me one of these. And I was like, oh no. So I just sat there and waited, and then I started to, it was a strong smell of Windex. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna investigate what's happening here. So I go over to my door, and I'm like peeking out, and I can see her out there. She has a rag on an outdoor door, the utility closet. I look out, and she's like this. I'm like, oh God. So I go to do the sneaky close, you know, when you twist the doorknob first and then you close it and then you twist it shut. And I open the curtain in the window, get a little fresh air. I promise you, she popped up in my window. She goes, why didn't you say hi? I was like, because I would rather die of black mold than speak with you. I didn't say that. I just told the truth. I was like, well, I could really smell a lot of Windex. She goes, it's not Windex. Do you see what I mean? She goes, it's Murphy's oil and it smells good. And because words don't work with this woman, and trust me, I've tried them all. I've been experimenting with different tactics of communication, and lately I've been doing this one where I morph my face into the scream mask, and so when she said it's Murphy's oil and it smells good, I lean toward the screen and I go, well, not to me! I think I scared her. She was like, and then she walked away, and I was like, game recognized game. When I first went to view the apartment, it felt like a Hollywood audition, okay? Because I walked in to look at the place. She was like, I see on your resume or on your application here, you're a comedian. Do you know anybody I know? And I'm like, I don't know who you know. And sometimes you don't want to share mutuals. When I first moved to LA, and I don't know how long ago, but I've never seen a leaf drop. You know, there's no seasons, so the years just sort of fly by. I have no idea how old I am. But whenever it was, I remember I got a phone call from my stepmother. She likes to drink. And she called to ask me to stop talking about that on stage. And first of all, my dad calls and then sneaky slips it to her, okay? And she was said, I hear that she just moved to Los Angeles. You know, I have a pretty close personal friend that's living there, and she knows Steven Spielberg. I was like, I don't want Steven to know that I know you. So sometimes, you know, I'm wary if somebody's like, who do you know? It's just a weird question. Ultimately, I think what she's looking for is that I am working, you know, I suppose. And at the time, because I'm gonna have to pay rent. So at the time, I was writing on season 3 of The Last OG, Tracy Morgan Show. She had no clue who that was. She's like, well, don't you tour? At the time, I don't know, I was probably working all the Chuckle Huts, okay? And she goes, what about with anybody famous? And I was like, I mean, I've opened for Mike Birbiglia. She had no clue who that was as well. She's like, anybody I might know? Like, really trying to pull something out of me. I was like, I don't know, I've opened for Sarah Silverman. She's like, Sarah Silverman, that's my favorite comedian. Maybe she'd come over sometime. So I do. I feel like I was cast in the role of Tenet. So this woman could get closer to Sarah Silverman. And she does, she sort of acts like this casting director of the entire apartment building, because when I was looking at that day, she was pointing to the front unit, and she was like, and these are our friends that live here. I'm like, can you be friends with people that owe you money in exchange for shelter? And look, she's acting like she's hit the jackpot with me, okay? And she has. I've got perfect credit because my dad left my mom in severe credit card debt, and that really scared us. All of the at the register really add up. And I'm a very clean person because, of course, as children, we also had lice and scabies, which is not my mom's fault. I craved disease as a kid. Just so I could get out of school. She did her best. And I have perfect credit. And, oh, I already said that. I just kind of want to reiterate that to the homeowners. What I meant to say is I have a ton of money in my checking account. Because I don't come from money, and I feel safer looking at a lump sum, watching it depreciate. So, you know, when I found out that I got the apartment, they left me a voicemail. I believe it was on speakerphone. I think it runs in the family. I think they had it on speakerphone, and they put it on the kitchen table, because the voicemail was like this. You got the apartment! And that's when they thought that they hung up the phone. And in the background, you can hear the dad, and he's like, I'm a little apprehensive about this person as a tenant. And in my head, I'm thinking, I've already got the job, you know? You just said I got it. And that's when you hear the landlady. She's like, wow, you know, really laying it, getting at him. And that's when it sort of clicks, where you're just sort of like, well, that's why he was constantly keeping her quiet, because if we knew she was this unhinged hothead, we would have never signed the lease. But she does. She gets at him, and he concedes. And then on the voicemail, you can hear him go, he goes, okay, yes, but she's a successful comedian, which was nice to hear from someone other than a family member. You know, I consider myself to be a fairly laid-back person. You know, I didn't look at the back of my head before this show. It's absolutely none of my business. And I would never Yelp Yosemite, for example. Have you ever just been on a road trip and you like come by a natural reserve or like the Redwoods and somebody's left a review? Get a life, you absolute loon. And you know, I don't like making people feel bad. So like, for example, if I'm out to eat and there's a hair in my meal and the waiter comes over to check on us and I'm like, there's a hair in my meal, but it's probably your hair and we love you and we'd love some of your hair to go. And so there were things that were wrong with this apartment. It was built in the 20s, but this is kind of why I liked it, and I wasn't really saying anything. And then the pandemonium hit, and my landlords decided to raise the rent. And everybody in my apartment building banded together to write a letter that was like, please, don't do that. They thought I was the ringleader of that. I wasn't. It was Aaron. But they decided to raise the rent anyway. And I was like, fine, if I'm paying more, then I'm just gonna say what's wrong with the place, you know? And I had said initially, I brought this up sooner, I was blowing a lot of fuses. And her response was, well, don't use the coffee maker and the toaster at the same time. And I was like, that's breakfast. And then, you know, this next one I was definitely more hesitant about because I'm from Ohio and I didn't want to be like, I'm cold in my LA apartment. But I was experienced quite a cool draft, okay? And when I finally investigated my front door, there was a sizable gap, pretty big, like 2.5-3 inch gap, okay? So yes, I was experiencing a draft as well as debris. And even the bugs didn't even have to duck. They were just like, hello! You know, this is walking in. And I brought up the noise, as I've already told you. But also, the mom and the daughter are arguing constantly. Quite a bit of arguing. And sometimes it's also on speakerphone. One time they were arguing upstairs on speakerphone, and through it, I heard the mom go, you need to lower your voice. And then the daughter said, oh, I don't care about your tenant, Beth. I mean, I'm at my desk transcribing it all. You know? I was like, I knew I had a character name. Basically, what I discovered, because I could hear so much, I did a little more snooping around my house. And what I found is the window on my back door was actually painted open. So that actually explains why I could hear the daughter so much. It makes me feel a little bit better. But when I moved in, the landlady was like, I made you these curtains. But obviously, it was to cover the crime. Okay, so the morning, she's gonna come over and address all these things that I brought up. I'm supposed to do Lights Out with David Spade. It's like a comedian panel show. And normally that would be in studio, but because the pandemonium's hit, we're gonna do it on Zoom. And, you know, I don't wanna ruin stuff for you guys, but I think you're smart people. And I'll just say, when you do like a comedian panel show, like after midnight or at midnight, usually about an hour before you go to tape, the producers send you the prompts so you can get a head start on writing jokes. And I'm sorry if that hurts anybody here. I mean, some stuff's improvised, but nearly all of it's written. And So when you're going to studio to tape, all the dudes arrive and start writing their jokes, and all the women arrive, and we're trying to write our jokes while we get our makeup done so we don't have to field questions about our mental health. And that's just something I wanted to complain about briefly. But I'm sitting at my desk, I'm writing my jokes, she knocks, and I'm like, oh no. So I go to answer the door. This is like the height of the pandemonium. People have no clue what's going on. They're like wiping down cereal boxes, okay? So I let her in, I ask her to take off her shoes, which doesn't seem like a lot to ask. She melts like a Disney witch. She's like, rah! Notices that she's wearing slides and then flicks them off into my cupboard. And she goes, yeah, we do that at our house too. And then scurries into my place. I'm like, what is happening? So I follow her to my front door. She's investigating the gap and she's looking down at it. And then she looks back at me and she goes, yeah, pretty big gap. We have that at our house too. We just put a towel down. And then genuinely, I was like, cool, do you want me to put a towel down? And she was like, no, we'll fix it. And then instead of like scurrying this time, she starts slowly walking down my hallway, like looking around, probably for Sarah Silverman. And she's like sneaking. And I'm like tapping her like this way, like we're going to the back door next. So she's at the back door with it painted open. She's going on and on and on. She's like, it's such a shame. This is the last original door in the building. It's such a shame to have to get rid of it. And my anxiety is like rising because I have to do this TV show in like 10 minutes. And I start to get emotional, you know, which is totally okay to do. And she sees that I'm tearing up. And she looks at me and she screams in my face. She goes, you need to get help. I was transported to a memory of mine, probably a year and a half prior, where her and her daughter were upstairs screaming at each other. I was sitting at my desk having an abortion. Like I had just taken the abortion pill. I had a Comedy Central crew. There's a Comedy Central crew in my house interviewing me on my writing process, like how I do what I do. Because you can't plan those things. I mean, the shoot was planned, the plan B, not working, not planned. So they're screaming so loud, the director looks at me, he's like, we actually have to hold for family antagonism. We wait a second, a mattress flies down the stairs into the courtyard area, and then it gets silent, and the director's like, and we're back. So I finished that interview. It's available somewhere online, and now you guys have that little backstory. And then later that night, I ended up doing a table read, so we really can have it all. I come back into my body. I'm thinking about that moment. I look at this woman. I'm very proud of myself. I said, I need to get help. And then I pointed upstairs, and I said, after hearing all the things that you've said to your daughter over the years, I have a whole new understanding for what she's going through. And then she shapeshifted back into a human being. And she looked at me, she goes, well, you're clean as a whistle, you pay rent on time, you're a mensch. No hard feelings. I was like, the hardest of feelings. And then I kicked her out the back door. No, I didn't kick her. I was gentle. I helped her out the back. She actually had cancer at the time. I forgot to say that. And probably from the rent hike. So I help her out. And she's like, we'll be back tomorrow with an electrician. So I had to do the spade taping on Zoom. It was fun. It went fine. The next morning, she shows up. I mean, I can hear her before I see her because the window's still painted open. They go around the apartment building to the back where the fuse box is, which is outside. So I go into my bathroom so I can listen better because it's right outside my bathroom window. And so whenever I blow a fuse, I have to go outside with a wooden spatula and flip it back on because it's so old it makes my fingers bleed. I think a lot of you guys thought I was doing better than this. And so I'm listening through the window. You can hear the electrician. He's working as fast as possible to get away from this woman. And you can hear him. He goes, "Nope, your tenant's correct. Her panel is hooked up to the entire back lot and all the security floodlights around the building." And then you hear her. She goes, "Okay, so what do we need to do?" Like, even her whisper is loud. "What do we need to do?" I was waiting to see if they were going to do anything. And to their credit, they did. They called me and told me and said that they were going to give me a $400 credit on my rent that month. Look, I don't know how much kilowatts are. Is that